Well, welcome to the Journey Together podcast with Joshua and Anna Gresham.
We are currently dressed in our workout clothes.
Because we plan to try and work out.
Really? Seriously?
Hopefully All right. the motivation is there.
I'm just going to put this out there for you guys. And if you don't know us, we're so glad you're with us. If you do know us, thanks for coming back. We've got our website.
Yep, thejourneytogether.com.
And you can find us on all platforms.
All of them. Spotify, Pandora, Google Podcasts.
Instagram. I'm not great on the Instagram.
No.
No. Okay. All right. Putting that aside.
But we're there.
I'm going to put this out there.
Okay.
I am training for a half marathon, and I need y'all to reach your hands out and pray for me.
Wow.
No. All right. I don't. But I am excited. I feel like if I tell you, then it's really going down.
It's making a difference.
I've got to go ahead. I'm trying to find the half marathon that I want to run, and then I'll pay for it. Then I'm in.
And then you're stuck.
Once you pay for something, you're in.
We should just run a half marathon today.
Okay, let me tell you guys something crazy about Joshua here. We are currently filming at Trailhead Church, where we are the pastors. We've church planted 15 years ago. This is Josh's office at Trailhead Church. This church is nowhere near our house. And he was like, hey, what if we ran home today after the podcast? And now I've started running. I've been running my whole life, but not as frequently in the past couple of years. And I have, of course, I'm back into this since I'm training.
It's only 10 miles.
I'm not ready. I'm not there yet. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Let's do it. Let's go. Right now, I'm ready to go.
You just take off?
Yes, we can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens
you. I need to eat something before that goes down.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. Hey, today, what are we getting into? We're getting into the importance of putting order in your home. So I think a lot of times we just live life day by day, and we're not putting focus on that order. And giving it attention. You have to give it attention. Not just the idea of like, I'm thinking about meditating on the thought of putting things in order. No, it's actually having a real honest approach and attention given to every action taken, every thought, every conversation that's being had, that there's an actual order. Because when you do this, it puts things into harmony, into that it flows naturally in the way that God wants it to. And so it also keeps you protected from those elements from the outside trying to get in. Yeah. That's really important. So I think it also helps when a decision needs to be made, and sometimes a decision that you weren't expecting to have, it just comes at you. Then really what you need to do is having everything in order, you can make that snap decision without too much worry, because you have so many other things in order. If you have to make a snap judgment very quickly, then you're in trouble, especially if you're not in order. So,
and do you want to live in chaos? How often do we find ourselves just totally overwhelmed in life because something has gotten out of order? Are there seasons, though, that just get crazy?
Oh, yeah, hectic things, for sure, absolutely.
But do you feel like successful people, when you start to read just leadership books and books on success, of walking through, you see that people have a strategic plan for their life, and following that, every day they're walking through their day from a position of order.
Mm-hmm.
So just like what you said, they're able to make decisions based upon not being overwhelmed or from a position of lack, but you're already prepared for, you know, what may come.
Right.
And I want our house to be a home of order. It's biblical to get your house in order. And this covers spirit, soul, and body. I mean, I'm talking about running a half marathon. I can't just show up next week and run a half marathon. I mean, I could, but it would not be successful.
No.
Without putting some things in order so that I can operate from a position of success.
Right.
And I believe this podcast is going to help you in many areas of your life, because it's going to touch on a lot of different positions that you may find yourself, which is good.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't realize the need to have that relationship with the Father and the importance of every single day. Why do I say this? Because most people think that they have a relationship with the Father, and it's not on the scale that it should be, and you're missing out on the knowing. The one who created you is the one who puts it all in order, and when you're not in his hands, then what happens is you're subject to the world. My concern about not having a relationship with the Father is you don't realize the purpose of who you are. You don't realize what is in store for you, what's before you, what's driving you through those seasons of highs and lows and whatever. So that's why it's important to have that relationship with the Father, because he knows what's best for you. And I think that's why it's really important. Actually, I got an illustrated sermon. I just thought about it. So just hang tight.
Okay. All right.
1 second.
You're not a dandelion. There's nowhere in the Word of God that he compares us to dandelions floating through the wind. You're an oak tree, right? Like we're planted firmly. And let's see it. I'm ready.
Well, so this is my plant that I purchased, I don't know, about a month ago.
For those that are not watching but are listening, please describe what's going on right now.
Well, I have a plant in my hands, and this plant was a very large, luscious, full, big plant. And sadly, I have taken stewardship of this, and I thought I was a good steward of it. However, sadly, I can't even tell you what the plant's name is. So there's number one problem. So I don't even know what the plant's called. So therefore, I really don't even know how to take care of it. So when I look at it, I get mad every time I come in because it's sad. It becomes more sad and more sad. So it was full. I had tons of these everywhere. And by each week, I keep pulling these things out because they're dying and they're dead. And it's super sad because I'm sitting here going, why? Well, for one, I don't know its name. I don't know anything about it. And I keep feeding it. I'm putting food plant in it. I've only done that once. Obviously, that's all you got to do. And then water. But for some reason, it keeps dying. And I can't figure out why. That's why it's important to have that order and understanding. So I'm not doing a great job at this because I don't know anything about it. I just think the basics, water and food. And I think too often that's what we're doing with our own lives. We're just basics. We're doing the basics where it's water, food, and sleep, and chase after the money because the idea of what it's going to get to it, you know, give us some pleasure or whatever. And unfortunately, you're not doing it correctly. There's not an order to it. And therefore, you get upset every time something bad happens, and yet you don't still know the purpose behind what you're doing.
So we're talking today about three ways to get your house in order. And so that would lead us to really our first thought is taking ownership, your part in your home, taking ownership. I love John chapter 6, verse 35. It says, "And Jesus said to them," listen, you need to read the red letters. We need to know what Jesus has to say. He says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." There's an ownership of going to God in the name of Jesus, that you have a relationship, that you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and there is order in your personal walk with Christ, that every day you are going to the Father in the mighty name of Jesus, talking to him about your life. Mm-hmm. So you're not looking at the dead plant going, "Why me?" Right?
Right?
So you're not looking at the dead areas of your life saying, "Why me?" Or you're not just a dandelion, you know, and here comes a gust of wind and you're floating all over the place. You have a secure foundation, and this is personal. People have a hard time taking ownership. Hard time. You want to blame it on everybody else. But personal ownership is necessary because it's you having a prayer life. It's you having intentional time. It's you taking ownership with your spouse,
mm-hmm.
you taking ownership with your children. You guys, right before we started this, we're talking to our kids and one of our children, I was like, "Hey, I need you to, use the blower thingy
mm-hmm.
what's that called?
The blower.
Okay. To blow the deck off. And he was like, why me?
It's always the why me.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. With children, it's always the why me. But even in relationship, it's the why me. You should do this because you have, unfortunately, you're playing a zero-sum game where you need someone to lose. It's a competition, or you're tallying up how much you've been doing and the other one isn't. Yeah. So you've created this system of what you have done and what others haven't. So that goes against the idea of ownership, of just owning it. This is what I want to do. It's my part. And it's not this what you're not doing. It's what I'm doing. I just own that.
Okay, let's talk about basic things. Ownership in your house. Taking all of the trash out of your bathrooms. Okay, things, basic things that you're like, this is silly. Why are we talking about this? Because maybe your house is out of order because you have not taken ownership over just doing basic things in your home.
Yeah.
Right? You gave me a talk. I have a challenging time of moving piles around, and I clean. Our house is clean, but I do move things around. And so you were like, hey, you guys know that spot in your home where all the mail collects and your keys and then my purse and maybe some candy and
your
stuff. Yeah.
My stuff. All your stuff.
Yeah. So Josh comes home. He goes, hey, do you think you can clean this up? And immediately I turned into like a porcupine, you know, and I was like, oh, whoa. Actually, I do clean this up, which no, not even a little bit. Like I just lied. I did not take ownership. And
is this confessional right now?
I feel like it is. Maybe you need to have that with your spouse right now.
I don't know how I feel about this moment.
I think you need to receive it.
I receive it.
So thankful.
I receive it.
That you love me. And
I do love
you.
You.
So I had to take ownership and realize, you know what? This makes him happy. Even though you may not see something, because often you're not taking ownership because you've got a blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you so thankful that you're no longer two but one and you guys sharpen each other? And that when these blind spots become uncovered, you can take a moment to either become prickly or to receive and take ownership and say, I'm a part of this team. I want to do what I need to do.
Yeah.
Right? Ownership when it comes to going to church and serving. Ownership when it comes to parenting, right? That it's not all on one or on the other. Or we've had this conversation where I've said, hey, I really need help with this in parenting. Or can you walk through this with me? You know, this is what I need. That's still me taking ownership, letting you know what I need. So we're asking this question with this ownership of getting your home in order. Me personally, how can I help facilitate the four basic needs towards my spouse being four basic needs: acceptance, identity, security, purpose, acceptance. We all, you want to be accepted mm-hmm. in your marriage for who you are, right? You're not marrying someone on potential. That's scary. Identity, that you are you and I'm me, and then we come together and it's beautiful. And then security, that there is that position where you feel safe with mm-hmm. one another. And then there's a purpose behind each of our lives. Only Christ can fulfill this, okay? All four of these things, this all comes from the Lord. That's why there's ownership with your personal relationship. But then in the same breath, how can you come in and take ownership and help meet each other's needs? Even with your kids, of like, am I actually pouring into this?
Yeah.
That's a big question to ask.
Sure. I think along with the idea of ownership is, it's the, if you're owning it, you're also more aware of what's happening. And I was just at a conference where they talked about sideways energy. And it's the things that take you sideways when you need to be focused. And that those are the things, you begin to own all these other things out here and you don't need to, and you got to focus on what's going forward. And that's really important, that if you have ownership of pursuing after the acceptance, identity, security, and purpose, then you're not worried. It's not all these other things you can actually say no to and move forward.
Oh, that's good. Yes. Is your house out of order because you are, you do have sideways energy. You're all over the place.
All over.
When you just need to focus in and clear out your mental, you tell me this all the time, Anna, you have too many things going on in your mind. Clear it out and focus in.
Yeah.
And that's a huge one for me. Possibly you're out of order because you've yet to take ownership of your own thoughts. That's everything.
Yeah. So then the next, so ownership's first. That's your personal inner moment that you need to have with yourself by placing those things of responsibility upon yourself. And what are you responsible for? Owning those things, not giving excuses, not having resentment, a competition or a competitive spirit, all of those things. Take hold of that, own what you need to own, and be really good at those things, like be the best at it. Then that second step in putting your home in order is unity, having unity. Maybe you're alone, maybe you're dating, maybe you're engaged. That unity is important in the sense of your friends, your family dynamic that you have right now. There's a purpose of that because you want to surround your people that have the same type of, you know, goal. And that's important. But if you're married and your family, you know the importance of unity, that you're all in one mind and one accord. It's huge.
Yeah, it is huge. And we should strive. Let's say you're like, not happening. We are totally not in agreement on some things. All right. But are you working towards agreement? Are you submitting? Have you talked to God about your own heart? And do you have any areas in your life that you've yet to surrender to God, and that's why you're not in agreement with your spouse?
Right.
Do you have some areas that you need to really just go before the Lord, or even go before your spouse and say, hey, I'm sorry, I've been off with this. Do you actually want to work with your spouse and live in harmony?
Right.
Do you actually want to work with your kids? This could go, you could be out of order in your workplace because you're not taking ownership of your responsibilities, and then you are not easy to work with. That's challenging, but it's a good evaluation that you begin with you, and then, you know, you recognize, gosh, what am I the problem here?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You know, Philippians 2:2 says, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. I mean, there's a blessing in being unified. So I know that unity brings blessing. When you are of one mind and one accord, and you are focused on the goal of what should be, you know, in front of you, and you're doing it, this is going to make a huge difference.
Philippians 2, that whole set of scripture that you just read.
Yeah.
That was the set of scripture that I stood on when I was believing God for my future spouse, you.
Hey,
that's what I was desiring, was that place of unity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how valuable, you know, I think of Acts chapter 2 in the upper room, and that they were all united in one accord. And then what took place? The power of God, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and the church was filled with boldness and power and strength and might. The purpose of marriage is to create power through unity and agreement. When you and your spouse come in agreement in your finances, tithing, giving, in how you get your home together, and where you want to live, in the church you go to, and how you want to serve, and how you parent your children, God's power will work through you to bring glory to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That is how valuable unity is. And I want our marriage to bring glory to God.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it's perfect all the time, but it means that it's surrendered, saying, God, we're humbly going before you, recognizing we need help. And we want to come in agreement. Often people struggle in finances. They're not in agreement on finances.
No.
Often people struggle in parenting and how they parent. Whenever we have had challenges with our children, we've got four kids. One of our children was very challenging to discipline. We actually came together and prayed and asked for a Holy Spirit strategic plan of unity. And then we both had to take ownership of it and follow through in how we disciplined that child. And what took place out of that is God was glorified. The discipline worked because God says it will. And life, our house, because it was out of order, right? I mean, it was chaos with this kid. And we were like, Lord, this is crazy. We don't know what to do right now. God took all of that chaos and confusion and he brought it to a purpose and a plan. And he gave us a word in season. And he has a word in season for your home to get in order as well. But we had to come together and we prayed. Got to ask you a question. When's the last time you got together and prayed over your children or over your finances? And if you're like, oh, it's weird. No, things are only weird if you make them weird. Someone's going to have to rise up and get real spiritual and start talking to God and say, hey, we're going to pray over this.
Yeah, with unity, too often I see it with couples where there's so much dysfunction. There really is. I've seen so much dysfunction within families. They lose that driving force that just, I don't know what you'd call it exactly, but I see it where one wants to go higher. They want to go up, and the other one's just is not motivated. It is important that you pray to find what God is going to give you to motivate that individual, that your spouse, to bring them to the next level of increase. I remember in Friends, I had friends that were not driven, and I separated myself from some of my friends. They were going a different direction than I was, and I just didn't want to hang out with them anymore. I could see that there was no driving force of purpose, and I had purpose. I wanted to do certain things. I wanted to be a part of certain things, and sometimes, not that our friendships dissolved, but they just separated, and so I didn't burn bridges, but I just knew that I wanted to go up a different level, a higher level, and I took some friends with me, and because they wanted to be a part of it. I invited them a part of it. With marriage, it's harder because sometimes there's just kickback. There's familiarity is what happens, and you just are like, no, I'm not doing that. I don't want to be a part of that. And then there's just like this slummy slump type of attitude, like, bleh. You've got to pray, find that food, going back to the plant that I had earlier, finding what's necessary to bring it alive and bring that up to par of that unity to get them to say, hey, I want to go up another level with you, and not stay in a poor mentality, to not stay in some type of a rut that is just bringing death and destruction to your marriage.
You guys, good thoughts, that's not the same as prayer.
No, right.
Good intentions are not the same as prayer. Prayer is you are going to your Heavenly Father in the mighty name of Jesus and making your request known, inviting Him in, His power, His wonder-working power to move in your spouse, to move in your life. If you are in a place of disagreement or not in unity, you have got to go to the Lord in prayer and really just start to talk to God. Okay, mm-hmm. I desire this, God. Lord, I want... Maybe one spouse, you know, is struggling in an area with finances compared to another. Lord, I want us to come in agreement on what this looks like.
Yeah.
If you're tithers, pray over that tithe each month. And givers, in your home with your family, or, you know, maybe I was in a season where I was like, God, I really want to get some things done in our house. It's time to update things. And Lord, put that same desire in Joshua's heart so we can come in agreement on what this looks like. And then I just gave that to God. It was like a month later, you came to me and you're like, hey, I've started making a list of things we need to do in the house. Then you need to trust God that your spouse hears from the Lord and allow them to come alongside with you. And actually, whenever you came to me, your dream for our home was much bigger than even mine. And do you remember I had a little pushback? And you said, do you feel like God can do this? And I was like, yes. Do you remember? We were on our back deck. We were on the back deck.
I don't remember this.
Yes. And then I had to check my heart and I was like, oh my gosh, here, I prayed for this. You came in agreement. You're dreaming even bigger. Now I need to get in unity with you and believe that God's going to do something far greater than we could ever hope for.
Yeah.
And he is. We got our cabinets painted. We just ordered new floors. Like things on this list, which then this goes to our third point of getting your house in order, your marriage, whatever it is you're needing right now, is that you've got to have a purpose, which means that there's a vision that God has given you or a passion. There's mm-hmm. a plan there that God has. There's a purpose to yeah. what he's doing.
You need to cultivate an environment where the two of you are sitting. And again, back to if it's friends, you and your friends, if there's something that you are moving towards, it's sitting down and it's saying, hey, how are we going to get here? And having a meeting of sorts where there is open-mindedness. There is the yes mentality of let's try it. Let's just talk this out. Don't just give a no just to say no. It's talk it out and get to a point to say this is worth doing. You know, it's so important that you begin to dream to a level that is a God level, because God wants that. God wants you to lean in on him, that it's just a huge, big scale of a dream that he has to be a part of. You're inviting him to be a part of this. That's where it's the scale of those dreams are so large that the invitation for him to be a part of is a must. So that's why it's important that you cultivate an environment where you say, hey, let's get away for the weekend. The two of us, we're going to dream this weekend about our future. We're going to talk about these things. And you set apart time and you say, this is going to be that time. And you lay out your vision, your purpose. That was actually the very first podcast we ever filmed, which was our vision and purpose, because we knew how important that was. And we casted our vision and purpose before all of you to show you what our process was for this Journey Together podcast. That's what we want you to do in your marriage and in every day of your life. So that's really, really important. So you begin to then, as you lay out that purpose and that vision, you ask yourself, what's going to continue to nurture these things? What's going to continue to do it? And, you know, you've said it often in these podcasts, is make sure that you are setting time apart for each other, dates and trips and all of these fun things, time alone with your children, having those heart-to-heart conversations. We had one with our son this morning about college. It was only for about 7 minutes, but it was a good 7 minutes where there was no arguing, no raised voices, no just combative nature of just like, right. Blah, blah,
it was,
you know,
a plan. We were planning.
Yeah,
out.
He was like, I understand. Thanks, mom and dad. You know, it was
very enough.
Quick. It was, yeah.
I think that's what's cool. It was enough.
Yeah. And you collect those, you count those as it counts. And then you just continue to build upon those moments. But that's really, really important with the purpose and the vision, that passion that drives you. What is it? I don't want. You and I have a house. We owe $12,000 on our house. Our interest rate is 2.1%.
Winning.
And we have 12 years left on our mortgage. We did a 15 years, you know. So in my head, or we refinanced for 15 years, you know, 3 years ago. So I have a real mindset of we're going to live in this house and until at least three of our children are out of the house, at least three, and then we go to our forever home. That's my drive. So there's times where I'll be, you know, not complacent. I don't want to use that word, but there's the word of I'm not satisfied. So I may come into the house one day and be like, man, this is just not what I want. But it's what I need in the moment right now to get what I want in the future. And that's enough to put me focused versus constantly looking through the apps and streaming through of wanting to buy this home or whatever. And maybe God's telling you to do it and you need to do that. Okay. But I'm telling you, for us, I don't want to make a decision that would compromise the future. So buying a car, you know, whatever it is, I just want us to consciously be considerate of what the driving force is.
But in the same breath with that plan, so we had actually pre-COVID, we had a piece of property we were going to build on. We had it reserved. And then during COVID, all of the prices, everything just went havy-cavy. And we didn't have a piece about it any longer. It was going to fluctuate, end up being like $100,000 more than what we were hoping. And that was not our goal. So we came in agreement that we were going to refinance.
Yeah.
And it was hard for me because I love our home. I love our neighborhood, but I just want different space. And I had to come to a place of agreement and unity with you. And I had a piece about it. And I went to the Lord and I was like, God, you know, I really wanted a new house right now. But that doesn't mean that you're not ever going to get that.
Right.
Our prayer is financially, we have other things we want to invest in and grow in right now. So it's using wisdom.
Yeah.
And now, God's got a purpose for this.
Yeah. But now, because of that, I am actually on the real estate apps because there is a piece of property that I'm wanting. So I want to figure out how to purchase that property to go ahead and purchase it now. I wouldn't mind us figuring out the way to purchase it now. That's our forever home location, and go ahead and purchase. So I'm putting that before me and before God to say, God, you know my heart's desires. I'm willing to stay in this home right now, but Lord, if there's a piece of property that we need to purchase to build upon in the future that we could purchase now, show it to me, reveal those things to me. So meaning I know that that's what I want to do and that's the direction I'm going, so I don't compromise.
Okay, I have totally asked God to give us that property.
Okay.
I want you to know, I am believing God that that property is going to be gifted to us.
Amen.
You guys, I got to ask you a question. Do you have a plan? Are you planning to stay together in your marriage? That's a great question. I mean, let's start right there. Do you have a plan for your time with the Lord each day? Do you have a plan? Right now, I'm getting a plan to run this half marathon. Like, this is a part of every aspect of our lives. Do you have a plan with your children, right? To train and teach them and instruct them, that you're leading by example, that you're showing unconditional love, that you're providing their needs and encouraging a relationship with God, like a plan of discipline. Do you have a plan for your next date night? I mean, these are things that sometimes we just get so out of order, or life just overwhelms us to the point where you come to this place where you just freak out when you're like, all right, pump the brakes. Sit down for a second, take ownership of where you're at, come in unity with God, unity with your spouse, realize he's got a purpose and a vision for your marriage, for he blessed you with these children, he's blessed you with this home, he's blessed you with this job, to have a plan for every day. If you want to get physically healthy, you got to write your plan out.
Yep.
If you want to work out, you got to write your plan out. We know in Habakkuk chapter 2, it tells us to write the vision for a purpose that he may run with it who reads it. Then he says, though it tarries, he said, have faith in God. Like, it's surely going to come. So do you have a plan?
Yeah.
If so, it's time to practice what God has given you. It's time to place it before him and allow God to work this plan out for your good and his glory.
Yeah.
You know, we often have to check ourselves when it comes to date night and say, oh, hey, we need to get a plan for this month of our time together. Hey, let's talk about your intimate life. Are you out of order when it comes to how many times you have sex with your spouse because you don't have a plan?
Yeah. That's a covenant, by the way. That's the blood covenant in marriage. In the same way, when you have communion with the Father, these are covenants that you've made. So when you come together to have sex, it's a covenant. And it's important that it happens often. So it's one of those things, if you just place like ownership, if you place that idea of I want to bring unity to what we're doing, and then that purpose and that vision, that really helps because it brings to light some of the things that are taking and pulling you from side to side. And then you realize, I need to let go of this so I can focus on what's really the most important. And when you pursue after one another, it's just it's the best thing ever. So maybe like the next month, if it's simple, and put it in a more simplistic form for yourself of saying, for the next month, I want to do this. And what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to surprise and delight them all month long. I'm going to do all kinds of fun things for them. I'm going to come in and just love on them. I'm going to do whatever. And then that actually is tearing the soil that is sitting there, and it's beautiful because you're presenting a place for fertileness that you can plant good seed, and then you begin to have those next conversations with one another of, hey, for this last month, I in my head, maybe it's secretive. You don't need to tell your spouse what you're doing, but it's like, I want to do this. And then in the next month to follow, it's like, all right, now let's begin to talk. You've created space, comfort, trust, all of those things in order to plant the good seeds to say, hey, let's talk more now. Let's get this. Because it might be very difficult if you just go in, knock on the door. We're going to talk about our vision and our purpose and our unity and how we don't take ownership and you're this and you're that. And it's like, okay.
You are no longer in harmony when that happens. Yeah.
No. So, all right. So make it happen. And hey, guys, if you like this, share it, with someone. I'm telling you, this, we've been praying about all of this to lay it out before. And I know that this is going to help someone. So share this with someone. Make it happen. I'm so thankful you are listening. Drop us an email. Let us know. Go to our website, thejourneytogether.com. Subscribe. You got it.
Get excited, too, about getting your house in order.
Do it.
Stop thinking that this is how life has to be. God's got a big plan, and He wants to help you out today.
Yep.
And take a deep breath. You're going to go run 10 miles?
Let's go do it right now. 10 miles. We'll see you guys later. Bye.